All right, amen. Record the message. Appreciate it. Appreciate everything that everybody does. Great message, Patricia and Gloria. It's amazing. You would think with such an open space that you couldn't hear nobody. But I was standing way over there by that water fountain where there's that, right there, and Gloria's way over here, and I could hear it just as clear. I was like, man. So everybody did real good in projecting their voices this morning. I am so glad that we're able to meet together, that God has toned the weather down. It's so beautiful. I got to thinking about when we go out to our retreat, I said, man, we're going to have a barn fire. That's going to be great. So somebody better find some marshmallows, some graham crackers, whatever. Look, Gloria's going to take care of the chocolate. I know that. I ain't got to worry about that, you know. But it's going to be a great time just to be out there fellowshipping, strengthening, really getting strong in the Lord, and man, just deepening our bond with one another. So fired up about that. You know, and it's great to have constant fire, no matter what you're going through. You know, we've been talking about Job a little bit, and I'm not going to talk about Job much this morning, but I will close out the series next Sunday on Job. But we're going to talk this morning about just consistent fire. You've got to have consistent fire. It's one thing to come into something all fired up and ready to go, but it's another thing to be consistent many years down the road and later on in life. You've got to have some consistent fire, you know. I think about Moses, who God chose him to be his spokesperson, to be his savior to God's people, and how he led 5 million men, I'm not 5 million, but half a million men out of Egypt. And if you read it, it says he led half a million men plus what they own and their family. And I tell people, if you look at that, God said there was over 1 million people following this one man out of Egypt. And for Moses to survive his ministry during his day, man, it took a lot of fire to maintain. Amen. Moses was willing to jump in front of the gun, willing to jump in front of the flame, basically willing to take the punishment. When the people messed up, Moses would say, hey, God, take me. But don't destroy your people. And he always reminded the guy, say, if you destroy them, what is that going to make you look like, you know, to Egypt? Like, he brought them out to the desert to kill them. But Moses had this constant fire to preserve the kingdom of the day. He had this constant fire to serve the people of the day. He had this constant fire to say, look, we're going to get this right, and we're going to walk right with God. I think about Paul. Something I learned. You know, I just love researching, love looking at things, documentary. Learned that Paul planted 14 churches. But we don't think, we just know Paul wrote letters. But when you look and you do research, and I say, well, you know, how many churches did, you know, Paul lead? Or how many churches was autonomous upon Paul? And it says Paul planted 14 churches and only wrote 7 letters to several of them. And I thought, this is amazing. I never heard this story. And we know of him taking a very special interest in Timothy, and he sent Timothy to lead one of the church. And I thought, man, never knew this. Knew about Paul's and Timothy relationship. But I wonder how many other people that Paul said, look, you have that consistent fire. We want you to go over here to the church of Corinth and lead. Or we want you to go over here to Thessalonica and lead. You know what I'm saying? I mean, to plant 14 churches, you got to leave somebody behind to make sure the fire is constantly being stoked. You have to make sure somebody's there. But I love that Paul caught fire for God, because we all know Paul was a very religious and prideful man. But he caught fire for God, and he followed God, and God sent him on a mission, not to stay in one place, but hey, I need you to go here, and plant. And you need to raise up other leaders to have that same fire. And then, of course, there's Jesus. You know, Jesus, hey, the ultimate example. Jesus would always let his disciples know, we can't stay here long. We've got to keep moving. We've got to spread more of this fire everywhere. I'm going to read a scripture here to you when I think about consistent fire and what it looks like. And this is going to come from Romans. Romans 10, and it says, Romans 10:14, it says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring news of good things. Wow. You know, here in Jackson, in the metro area, It's our feet that needs to look beautiful to everybody around us. We have been put here at this time in our life to bring good news to people. We have been put here in this time in our life to preach the word of God powerfully, with great conviction, with great love, with genuine concern about the condition of our city, of our community. But is that fire in you? Is that fire in you to do that? Is that fire burning in you to say, I need to get more into my community? I need to carry the gospel to my community. They need to hear about Jesus. That's right. Even the religious ones, they need to hear about Jesus. Look at Paul's life. Paul was religious before God won him over. Ain't that something? And Paul thought that the way he was going in, he thought, I must be doing it right. But Paul was killing and persecuting God's people. And God had to straighten that out with Paul and help Paul to see, you're going in the wrong direction. I know you love me, but you know what? You're going in the wrong direction. But God took Paul, reshaped Paul, man, polished him up a little bit and say, this is the way we need to go. You know, like Paul, our ministry is going to have, I call, mountain high successes. Life is good. But your ministry is also what I call going to have valley lows. Don't want to be here too long. It's rough out here. And then in your ministry, there are going to be times when you're like, man, we're just in the desert. There's no sign of life. Things are not happening. But even in those times, God challenges us to say, I still need you to have constant fire. For I will send the fruit and I will send the people. But I need you to open up your mouth and speak. People are not won over by a quiet spirit or a quiet soul. People are not won over by the person who likes to stay to themselves and mind their business. People are not won over if there are no actions. If you're not taking no action to have an impact in your community. Over in 1 Timothy, so we know that Paul has planted 14 churches. Wow. And Paul is prepping Timothy and he's giving him some instructions about what needs to happen as he's going forward here. It's going to be 1 Timothy 4. Let me get over there. Using my phone this morning after I seen the wind blowing quite a bit. I said, I'm not going to be struggling with the Bible. So using the old technology. First Timothy, here we go. Verse 11. So he's giving, Paul's giving Timothy some instructions here. And he says, and I'm reading out of the guys, the new American Standard Bible. So if some of the words are different, just want you to know that. It says, prescribe, basically he's saying commit. He says, prescribe, he says, and teach these things. So there are some instructions about what he needs to do going forward as he's sending Timothy out. He says, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. So Paul is giving Timothy his instruction as he go out. He said, first of all, you're going to go to some believers. Okay, you're going to go with some people who believe in God. I don't know if they believe in God 5% or 100% or whatever he said, but you're going to be directed to go to some believers, okay? And he says, as you get to the believers, he says, guess what? He says, let none of them look down on you. Because you got to realize, whether it's in our kingdom that God has allowed us to establish and reach out to people and bring them into the kingdom here in our church, or whether somebody else who may go to church every once in a while, and I meet those people. Those conversations are very interesting. And I get deep in those conversations with those people. He said, but whether you go to somebody else who goes to another church, he says, you know what? Don't let them look down on you at all. He said, this is not about your age. And I want to say this to you guys. You know, it's easy to say Chris and Cortland kind of are our youngest people here. And, you know, this is inspiring. God said, don't let them look down your age. But also as disciples, we may be young in the faith. Know what I'm saying? And people tend to look down on you. Well, do you know this? Do you know that? It's like a pop quiz. But God said, don't let them look down on you at all. But he puts the challenge. He says, but rather in speech, he says, your conduct, your love, he says, your faith, and purity, show yourself as an example of those, or in some translations, to those who believe. Guys, we are not meant to be this small, quaint group here is just so faithful. God loves that we're faithful, but God said, you know what? We need to be seen. The example of who we are needs to be out in the public. That's where we need to be at. I think about it. What is your example like? What has your example been like? Do people know who you are? Do people know what you stand for? Do people know what you believe? Man, he says, rather in speech. You know, our words say a lot of things. They come across in so many ways. Are your words impacting people? Are they trying to change lives? Scott and Richard and I went fishing yesterday, way at the other end of this lake down on 43 off a pier. It was a beautiful day like it was today. Man, just like, wow. Scott like, I need to bring a chair next time. I'm like, yeah, I concur. I said, we may not get no fishing done, but man, it was just nice. And so at the latter probably end of our fishing trip, of course, several families were coming. This last family came, and they were fishing, and having whatever like that. And so by that time, Rich and Scott were wrapping up, and they were leaving. I said, I'll be right behind you, and I was still fishing. And so I stopped and talked to the guy. I said, hey, let's have a conversation. And his name is Rob. Now, he wouldn't give me his number, but I said, it's no problem. We're going to still have this conversation because I desire for you to know Christ. And so we just talked a little bit. And I could tell he was a little standoffish, but he's trying to be open standoffish. He's tattooed all up and everything and everything. I said, no problem. And so he was like, well, you know, man, you know, my life has been something else. You know, I've been away for a little while. I said, okay. From my experience of dealing with people with a lot of tattoo, sometimes there's some prison time involved. And I know that can feel like, well, you ain't going to set me the right way. You know, you're going to look at me funny. You're not going to look at me with this like, man, give me a second chance. But we talked. And he just kept beating around. And he finally came out and said, man, you know, I just got back, got my daughter. When I got my daughter, you know, her mama just jetted. Beautiful little girl. Think about four. Beautiful little girl that fishing. Of course, I'm thinking like, keep on this baby, man. You know, this water here, you know, on this pier. But beautiful. He's fishing with his baby. Said, man, I had her 10 months. Haven't seen mama since then. Just gave me the girl and gone. And, but he said, you know, man, he finally came and said, man, you know, man, I've been locked up in jail, man. I think he said since he's 35. He's been locked up since he was 19. That's a lot of life gone. And he says, I am not trying to go back. I'm not. He said, man, I know. I want to help other people. I want people to know the truth. I want to help these guys on the streets, man. He said, man, I moved out of Jackson because that's where I got in trouble at. He said, I went up to Kenton. He said, that's where I'm at. He said, man, so I was trying to do the right thing. I said, okay. So I'm pressing the issue. Well, you know, hey, I know a great way you can do the right thing. I'm constantly preaching the gospel and talking to him. He still didn't comfortable yet, but I was able to give him one of my cards and say, here you go. I said, you call me, you text me when you're ready. But I do know a better way you can live. Amen. Awesome. See, people like Rob need to hear the gospel. Right. Whether they are ready to take that step of faith or that leap of faith towards you so you can help them or not, they need to hear the gospel. Right. But he was impacted by what I had to say, and he took time out of his fishing to have a conversation with me. I could have never did that if the fire is not constantly in me burning, saying that people need to hear the good news that Jesus is bringing. You know, my conduct and speech that day with him was, man, I love you and I want to help you, but I know what you're looking for. I just need you to open up and let's talk and let Jesus in. You know, he also says, in your conduct and in your love and in your faith and in your purity, show yourself as an example. What example are we going to be to our community? Are we going to be the example as, hey, how you doing? I do what you do. I go to church. Don't share my faith. Don't reach out. Don't do nothing. Is that what we're going to be? Are we going to be like, you know what, God? I'm going to make a commitment here. This week, I'm going to speak to somebody every day. And I pray that you would give me somebody who would be open. Yeah, let me be shocked, God. Let me be shocked that when I share my faith with somebody maybe on Saturday and nobody hasn't responded to me from Monday, let me be shocked with somebody and say, I'll come. I'll come to dinner. I'll sit down and eat with you. I want to study the Bible. Let me be shocked. But God, help me to get my composure back together so that I can help them. But you can't help nobody if you're not out there preaching Jesus. You may be good and we may be safe and we may be comfortable and life is great, Lord, I'm getting old. But you can't do that if your conduct is not good. I've had conversations with so many people. I'm going to tell you the best conversations to have. You can hold me to this. Now, you can talk to people around your age, but if you really want to know something about our movement, about our kingdom, and grow in it, you find them brothers and sisters who are 70 plus. You'll learn a lot. I talked to them. I learned so much. I'm like, wow. I was telling a brother a lot of stuff that I've been told. I've been learning since back in mid-2000. It's amazing. And I feel like it's like the Bible, how God's like, you know, this person over here, I used them to do something. I used them to do something this time, and then this time, and this time, and how God has allowed the whole Bible to come together so we can see, like, man, you see, I was always working. I've talked to an older gentleman back in the mid-2000, another one in 2012, another one a few days ago, and another one last night. And I'm like, I've heard this. I heard this back in 2007. I've heard this. You ever want to know something about our movement and how great it is? Through its mountain highs and its valley lows. Talk to some older people. It will strengthen you and it will stoke the fire in you and it will make that fire be consistent as it burns. Paul goes on to say, he says, look here, I think he says about being the example that we need to be. He says, until I come, give attention to public reading of scripture, to exhortation and teaching. He says, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed or given unto you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. He says, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Look at our progress. One thing about our progress is we're faithful. If you think I'm kidding, the Harringtons mark an example of that. These guys always show up. They always come. Now, the Lord knows I want to speculate on that a lot more, but I'm not going to go out, step out my lane and speculate about that, you know. And, you know, we all like, I heard somebody say, brother, you know, why don't you just come on back, you know. But, amen. The Lord knows what he's doing with them, and they're talking to the Lord. They're having their conversations. And if their conversation is anything like mine's, I'll be telling God sometimes, I'm tired of hearing no. I don't want to hear no no more. If you're not going to respond with a yes, I don't want to hear no no more. But I just think God don't listen. God, like, you're still getting no, and you're going to hear it. Okay, you're going to hear it and see it. But, you know, I think about, man, what do we look like in our community going forward? We know where we're at. We know what we look like today. What do we want to look like in our community going forward? What do we want to look like next month? What do we want to look like the month after? What do we want to look back? Guess what? If God makes it so that we meet here again next year, what do we want to look like? We want more chairs out here. We want more people here. I say resources. People are resources. We are resources. You work for a company, we need resources. Yeah, we know we need money, we need tools, we need material. But none of this stuff works unless the people are there. Is the fire constant in you to say, let me get after it? There's a soul who need me. There's a soul who need me. I'm really grateful for Chris. Was able to study with one of his buddies on the football team. Was a great study. Was inspiring. Real grateful for that example. Real grateful for Gloria and the ladies. They're doing this this women's book reading, if I'm getting it right, and everything. I'm really great. But I also hear about them having a consistent visitor, I think, that's been kind of coming. Kind of, man, we know, it's like, man, we got to get her over the hump, over the bridge. We got to say, Lord, give us the insight we need to get her to get over this bump or get us over the bump. What is it that we're not asking, that we're not paying attention about? But I'm grateful to see that people, like, the fire is there. We're pushing. We're pushing. I am so grateful that God allows us to be his voice here in Jackson, Mississippi. Amen. So grateful. But is who we are evident to those around you? Do they know you're a disciple? Do they know you're fired up for the Lord? Do they hear it in your speech? Do they hear it in your conduct? Do they see it in your life? Can people say, hey, I know so-and-so. Yeah, you know, they fired up about God over there. Is it so much that you're fired up that they always want to have a conversation with you about the Bible? Because, you know, people have their own type of interpretations. But God said, you're my voice. You're my people. You're the right voice. You're the right people. Finally, it says, pay close attention to yourself and to your teachings. Persevere. That's the key word. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. That is so important. Man, the heart can get tired. You can get lax. You can get lax. But I know some people, 70 men run laps around us. I'm still trying to, like, Lord, can I get a little bit of their fire? Amen. A little bit of fire. There are still men, I know, in their 70. They still hunger to make disciples. And I'm like, I want to be like you. they're like, man, I don't want to go. There are 70 years of redneck in our kingdom who are traveling to different churches to strengthen them, to build them up, to say we need to make disciples. There are 70 years old right now stepping in the gap where there are no leaders, saying, I'm going to step here and I'll help organize things until we can get a leader to step up or raise one up.
Amen.
Man, is your fire constant? Is it consistent? We have to persevere. We do. We're going to have our moments. Most of you know I've had my moments. I've had moment after moment after moment. I've had moments. But I hunger to see us do better. I just do. I hunger to see us do so much better. And it is possible that we can do better. The fire just has to be constant. And we need to keep the fire constantly stoked. Now he shared with Timothy, he says, persevere in your life and your doctrine. They both got to match up. They do. We all have jobs. Or we go to campus or we go to school. You can't be screaming, I go to campus or I go to so-and-so campus and you're not doing the work. You may be attending, but if you're not doing the work, you will soon be suspended. And we can call it disfellowship or kicked out. You can't say you work for a company and don't do the work. You will soon be fired. You will be let go. And maybe if you've been there many, many, many years, they might offer you a severance pay. But if you've only been there for a couple of months in a year, they're going to offer you the front door and wish you well. You can't say you're in God's kingdom. You cannot say you're in God's kingdom. You cannot say you are a disciple. You cannot say you're about Christ if you're not living like a disciple.
Wow.
If your conduct, your speech, and your behavior doesn't match it. Ask yourself, when's the last time you had a visitor to your house? When's the last time you had a visitor at the church? When's the last time you got a visitor, let's go on a prayer walk? I think God gives a great example of today. I need to get somebody to the lake with me in the middle of the week. Let's go walk. It'll be cool. The wind will blow. Let me get somebody to meet me in the park. Maybe I can't walk far, but you know what? There are plenty of benches. You know what? Hey, guess what? Maybe I just want to stay on the concrete. Let me bring a chair for you and I. When is the last time you've been intentional about going after the lost? Because that's what God was about always. In every generation, Old Testament to New Testament, he was always about going after his people. And he says they've all been captive. Whether you was captive in Israel, captive in Egypt, to their standards of way of living, he says, I had to go rescue them. And Moses had to basically retrain those guys. I don't know about you, but I think that was a pretty hard thing Moses had to deal with. Wow. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. Man, I would have raised up more leaders than you could count. I would have raised up more leaders than you could count. That's a lot of people to manage. And then Paul planted 14 churches. We've all had our life turned upside down by God. We've all had our life impacted by God. But has it been impacted to the point where you say, I want to be like Paul. Lord, send me to go plant some churches. Don't know how that's going to happen, what that look like, but I know I have the word. The word gives clear instruction about how to bring the gospel to somebody. I want to be a part of your plan, Lord, to not only turn this city upside down, Lord, but just maybe, God, just maybe we can plant a small church over here. Or have a small group meet over here. Maybe we can have another group meet in Clinton. Have another group meet in South Jackson. Have another group meet in Byron. Have another group meet way up in Madison. But it only can happen if the fire is constant in you. And you're allowing God to stoke the fire. And you're watching your life and your doctrine and you are persevering. And you and God are on the same page to guess what? The gospel has to be heard. And I have to be the one that's going to go and be sent to make it happen. So that people can say how beautiful your feet are. Because they bring good news.
Amen.
Finally, guys, this is one we know well. You know, I talk to a lot of people. Listen to a lot of people. And I think of things, you know. And one of the things, you know, I look at the ICLC and I learn so much more. I think it's so helpful for me to realize just where we're at right now in our movement. A lot of people still trying to find their way, still trying to figure things out. Some have already figured out where they want to be, that's how it's going to be. But I know for us here, God is doing something great and we're going to do something great here. And I know where we are and I know where we need to be. We need to grow. Mississippi is our state. Whether you moved here, was born here, left here, raised here, Mississippi is our state. Our worldwide vision is for the state of Mississippi. Do I want to go to Louisiana? Yes, I do. But let me get home right first. Let's just get home the right way. Our worldwide vision need to be for the state of Mississippi. We need to start right here in Jackson. And we need to take to heart the thing that Jesus says that needs to happen. And we know it also well. I always call it a disciples' anthem about really reaching the world. And Jesus says, as he's talking to his disciple, and of course we know it's the Great Commission, and he says, all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. Jesus says, my Father God has put me in control of these two arenas, these two areas. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That has never changed. We as God's creatures, we come and go. It's just our time and our turn. I say our time and our turn and God's ever-expanding plan for mankind. That's it. But before we showed up and God said, hey, your number's up. You're going into this world. You don't know yet. You're a baby. But you're going into this world. Guess what? The gospel was still there saying, go and make disciples of all nations. We need to make the most of that. We need to grab hold of that. We need to say, man, Lord, help me to be effective in your plan to change somebody's life. People are hurting. People need what we have. People need what God is offering. And guess what? If nobody else does it, who's going to do it? Right. Needs to be us. And there are some people, other people doing it, but they have different agenda. But it's amazing. The agenda that they have is not always genuine or it lines up with God's agenda. But if you ever read Philippians, I love this is what God does. God takes all our excuses away of why we can't do it or why we can't be impactful. Over in Philippians 1, 15 through 18, you can read it later. But God makes this statement through Paul. The Spirit says to Paul, he says, people are preaching the gospel for many different reasons. He's letting you know, all of it's not true and genuine. All of it's not right. They have an anger on agenda. He said, but there are some who are actually preaching the gospel for the right purpose, God's purpose. But here's where God removes all our excuse and escape clause. He says, but what does it matter what they're preaching it for? He says, as long as Christ is preached, we got to preach Christ. We got to preach Christ. Because God is letting us know there are other people out there preaching Christ for the wrong, well, I should say with the wrong heart and with the wrong motive. And those people are being harmed. But that's why we're here. We're here to clean it up and make it right. We are called to take the gospel to the world. And once we take it to the world, he says, teach them. That's right. You know, you got to teach them to help them get an understanding of Christ so they can be baptized and really baptized and begin to experience salvation. But after you get them in the water, there's got to be some follow-up time, some discipling time, some one-on-one time, some faith time, whatever you want to call it. But God says there's got to be some continuous one-on-one time so that they will make it. He says, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. A lot of us been around a long time. A lot of God has commanded us to do a lot of things. God says, I need you to pass those things that I taught you on to the person that you're reaching out to. I need you to train and raise them up to be an awesome disciple. Let them know this road is long. This road is long. But God said, I need you to teach them so that they can continue to grow and grow and grow and become an awesome disciple, and where their fire will be constantly burning. He says, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, he says, I am with you always to the end of age. Powerful. I used to think like to the end of the age, is that going to be like to when you come back and everything? That's true. But also that applies to when our time is up. God said, I'm going to be with you to the very end when your time is up. Your time will probably come before God brings everything to an end. But when our time does end, can God say about you that your fire was constant? That you were constantly on fire about seeking and saving the lost? That you was constantly on fire about serving the poor, because the poor tends to be lost too? That you were constantly on fire about serving the homeless, because the homeless tends to be lost too? Or what about the community that is experiencing poverty and not doing so well? A lot of us are blessed to be doing well. Although we feel at times I would love to be doing better. But we're doing a lot better than other people over there. Guys, the fire needs to be constantly stoked. The fire needs to be constantly burning. We need to have the heart that we're going to go after disciples, that we're going to go after lost. Because there are some disciples who say, I'm stepping out, don't want to be united with the body. We need to go after them, but we need to focus right now to grow God's kingdom here. We need to focus on the lost, no matter where they are at in this community. But we need to have the heart to say that I would no longer sit on the sideline. I would no longer sit in my house. But when I have an opportunity to go out, not only when I go to the grocery store, I'm not going to buy groceries. I'm going to share my faith. But while I'm there, I'm going to pick me up some food to eat. That needs to be our mentality. When I go to that favorite fast food place, then I know that unlike Chris and Courtland can handle it, but at my age, I'm not supposed to be here. My doctor going to be upset with me. I'm going there actually to reach out. That's what I'm going to tell my doctor, which is true. I'm going to share my faith, doctor, but while I was there, I picked me up a two-piece from Popeyes. You know? I got to be fired up to say when I go out, no matter where I go, my mindset is I'm going to find a soul. I'm going to plant a seed, God, while I'm out. But while I'm there, I'm going to handle my business too. We can't let the fire burn out. We can't let the fire get down to an ember. But we need that fire to be raging constantly so that we are reminded that, man, we have a mission. We were put here for a purpose, not to be self-serving, but to be serving God. I love God. God said he loves us. In closing, guys, God says the greatest commandment is this. When Jesus had a conversation with the Pharisees, and them, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. It's easy to say that I'm tired, I can't go no longer. But I'm here to tell you, we can. Amen. We can. I've spoken to men many years older than me, and I just stand in awe. We've seen the old lady who's 80 lapping us around the track, and we're trying to figure out how she's doing it. I don't see too many men lapping us, but I see a lot of women lapping. Right. We're like, how do you get that energy? But God says, give me everything you got. And God says, if you genuinely, wholeheartedly give him everything you got, he will bless our efforts. This is our city. This is our community. What do we want to look like in a month? What do we want to look like next year? What do we want to look like? I am so grateful for God that God has given us a park where we can meet at, even in a pandemic. I am so grateful for your faith to boldly go. I feel like a Star Trek moment. To boldly go where few are going these days. Or say none have gone. To step out and say, I'm going to come outside and I'm going to meet with the body. I am grateful for people like Glory who say, you know what? Hey, I'll cover the security stuff. It's great. It's normal. It allows us to get out and do the right thing. But we need to be grateful that God has created us during this time and during this point in our life for the purpose of turning this world, Jackson, Mississippi, the state of Mississippi, for having the opportunity to turn this world upside down. Let's get after it. Let's get after it. Let's not look like this in a month, in 2 months. Let's not look like this. Let's not look like this next year. But instead, just look a whole lot different. Amen? Thank you guys so much. Okay.